As I mentioned, we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 this morning. And, you know, when we look at these genealogies at times, it seems like, wow, there's so many names here. What difference does that all make? But, you know, names are really important. God knows our name. He knows you by name. And the Bible is so unbelievably unique in that it's the only book, the only recording we have of names to the point of where we can trace the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ all the way back to Adam, certainly back to David, as the prophecy was he would be of the house of David, and of course back to Abraham. And you know, once the Savior came and the temple was destroyed, as he said it would in 70 AD, about 35 years after his crucifixion, that we have no more names. But we don't need genealogies anymore because the Messiah has come. So Jewish people today have a difficult time. They don't even know what tribe they're from. God knows, and he'll raise up 12,000 from each tribe at the end times, we know in the Revelation and so forth. But we have the Chronicles here, and we have all of these names listed. We know that great scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 that says what? All scripture is inspired by God. So don't treat the genealogies lightly. I think as you read them over and over and over, you start to put names together and you start to see families and those kinds of things. And I think it's very important that we do pay attention to all scripture. Today we have a section in the tribe of Judah, the family of Judah in chapter 4. Now there's great debate on who this guy Jabez is. It's Yabetz, which means pain. Yabetz just pops out here out of nowhere. We do have the city of Yabetz named in 1 Chronicles 2, and it was a city of intellect. It was a city where scribes gathered, but it was basically referring back to the Rechabites, which are out of the Kenites, which is not really part of the tribe of Judah, so that's a little bit difficult to put that together. So we're not really sure who this guy Jabez is. The Chaldean says it's the same name as Othniel, who was one of the sons of Caleb, but I don't see, I mean, I don't know where they get that. I mean, maybe he is, maybe he's not. But it doesn't really matter who he is. But what's important to me is they're coming down the genealogies through all these names, and then out of nowhere, they mention this man who was more honorable than his brothers, and that he prayed, and his prayer was answered, and then back to the genealogies again. Wouldn't that be nice to have your name in the Bible as a man or a woman of prayer to where it was just right in the middle of, there it is, you know? And could that be actually said of us? Would anybody ever think of us as a person of prayer? I think it's important to recognize that prayer is important. So we have here in verse 9, we're coming down through these genealogies. I won't read through them all. But in verse 9 it says, now Yabetz, or Jabez, was more honorable than his brothers. I was amazed by that word honorable. I would have never guessed what it is in the Hebrew. The word is kabod, which if you remember probably is the word for glory. The glory of the Lord shone in the temple. That's kabod. It's heavy. It's weighty. It also has a meaning of honorable. So I think the translation is fine as honorable. But anyway, it's good. And Jabez was, you could say, better, in a sense, than his brothers, or more righteous, more holy, in a sense, more honorable than his brothers. That's all we know about him. And his mother called his name Yabetz, and we don't know who his mother was, but we know he had one, it says. And she called his name Pain, Yabetz, Pain, because I bore him in pain. Now, what does that mean? We don't know. Is it just the pain of childbirth, or was it unusually difficult childbirth, or was he in a lot of pain after he was born? We don't know. But typically in that time, the Hebrew names were given to people, and there was a resemblance typically in their life of their name. And so, you know, I don't know about you. I'm not particularly desirable to have a name of pain. Oh, here comes pain, you know. Come have a seat next to me, pain. But anyway, his name was Pain because she bore him in pain. But now the really good verse is the prayer in verse 10. And Yabetz called, Karah, called on the God of Israel. We would say prayed on the God of Israel. And here's his prayer, a very short prayer. And I think we need to keep that in mind when we pray. Typically, the prayers in the Bible are very short. You know, now the dedicatory prayer of Solomon is an exception. Daniel's prayer is kind of an exception. The prayer of Jesus Christ in the great high priestly prayer, 26 verses, is the longest prayer we have of him. But even that, the prayer for us in that is the last seven verses, which if you read it, you can read it in less than a minute. So I think we need to keep that in mind when we're in prayer meetings. We're not the only one here who knows how to pray, so we don't have to pray the whole time. And once we get off of what the Holy Spirit is leading, you can really sense it, can't you? Because it just, the power goes down and a person gets off on something they want to talk about. So, but here, Jabez is praying this very short prayer, and he says, oh, that's an interesting way to start a prayer. Oh, isn't it? So it's like, or behold, or it's wow, or this is all right. Oh, that you, Lord, you, God, would what? Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Now, this is still the time of the settling of the promised land, the time of Joshua and so forth, shortly after that, where they were in the promised land, but they didn't really have it yet. I mean, they went in, but you know, they were to drive out the enemies over time. And I think this is probably what he's relating to here when he says, enlarge my territory, bless me indeed, that I could drive out the enemies. But I see another application for you and for me. We have enemies, don't we? Spiritual enemies, workers of iniquity. And you could say, in another sense, bless me indeed and enlarge my ministry would probably be a reasonably applicable statement for you and for me. But even when we pray that, do you really want your ministry enlarged? Do you really have to be used in a greater, wider area, or maybe more effective in a smaller area? You know, I think we sometimes get what we ask for, and maybe we can't even do an adequate job of the ministry the Lord has already given us. You know, I don't know, but we can ask for more effectiveness, can't we? And so he is asking, "Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." Now you know that prayer was taken clear out of context, and this book was written and became a bestseller, and people were using this as a good luck charm. I want to be rich. What do I have to do to be rich? I have to pray. And so pray, and God will bless you and make you prosperous. Prosperous, yes, but not prosperous in terms of material things. God blesses us in all kinds of ways, and he blesses us materially too. But this is not to be used as a prayer just for selfishly to put money in my bank account. That's not the purpose of it. But he's saying, bless me and indeed enlarge my territory, and that what? Your hand would be with me. Now that's a great statement there. Your hand, most of the time in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, was used as a hand of correction, as a heavy hand. God put his hand on him, didn't mean that he was blessing him typically. Sometimes, yes, but most of the times it was God's heavy hand of correction. You know, God was always bringing judgment against Israel and Judah because of their immorality and their idolatry, and so his heavy hand of judgment was on them. But here, Jabez is, as a great prayer, he's saying that your hand would not be against me, in a sense, in judgment, but what? That your hand would be with me. I think that is always a good prayer. Lord, be with me. I know you are. I know you're everywhere, Lord. It is not that I can ever get away from you, but when I say speak to me or be with me, I think what that is really saying to me is open my ears, open my eyes, that I would see you, that I would be aware of your presence, and that I would listen to you, and I would be obedient to you. So that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil. Now, that's a good prayer. There's four things here, aren't there? One is bless, one is enlarge, one is keep me from evil, and the last, that I would not cause pain. So the third one here, you would keep me from evil. Isn't that what we pray in the model prayer? Absolutely. That's what Jesus taught us to pray to. And then finally, that I may not cause pain. And when I first started looking at this prayer years ago, I thought, well, that's a good prayer for Japheth because his name is Pain. You know, I don't want to cause any pain. But I think that's really a good prayer for me. I think it may be a good prayer for all of us, right? How do we cause pain? Well, typically with this thing, it's in our mouth, right? That's probably the biggest way we cause pain. And I think that's a good prayer, Lord, that I may not cause pain. What does the Word of God say? Let every word that proceeds from your mouth impart grace to the hearer, right? Isn't that what we all want? But what do we do? Can you get through one day without saying something you wish you hadn't said? Or maybe the words weren't so bad, but it's the way you said it, and it came out really harshly, and it came out really in causing pain. It wasn't lifting people up, and you think, oh, I wish I had that word back. I think of that example of the toothpaste tube. You know, if you squirt the toothpaste out and you get too much, do you ever try to put it back in? It doesn't go back in, does it? It's just like that word that comes out of my mouth that causes pain. I want to take it back, but it's already done its damage, right? So I think that's also a good prayer for you and for me, that I would not cause pain. So the four things there then, bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, or enlarge the area of that I would be honoring you, that your hand would and that your hand would be on me, and you'd keep me from evil, and I would not cause pain. And then what's the next sentence? So God granted him what he requested. So whenever I see that in the scripture, I'll double take, right? Because isn't that what we want? Don't we want prayers that are answered? Well, 1 John tells us for sure the secret to that, really, or the condition of that. If we ask anything according to his will, right, he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, he will grant us the petitions that we ask. You ask things in accordance with God's will, he will respond because he wants to work through you. We have the promise in the scriptures, he'll always give us what we need. He won't give us necessarily what we want because we don't know what we want. We know what we think we want today, but if you think back last week or maybe even yesterday, what you might have been praying for yesterday is being so important now today. Well, that's not so important anymore. Now I got a new one today. Lord, this is really important, right? And you'll have a new one tomorrow, right? Probably. But we want to ask what he wants done. We want to be so close to him that his heart is our heart, and that his love is our love, and his hatred is our hatred. And what does God hate? He hates sin. He hates sin. May I hate the sin in the way that he hates it. So a good short prayer here, just a few words. And Jabez comes out of nowhere, and as an honorable man, a man of prayer, and he prays, and the Lord answers his prayer, and then it goes back to the genealogies again. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every prayer in the Bible, Lord, and we thank you for what we can learn from them. And so, Lord, as we ponder, as we meditate on your word, Lord, there's well over 100 prayers in the Bible, maybe a couple times that, depending on how we count them, and there's something to be learned from each one, Lord. Your whole word is so awesome. So we thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for bringing us together this morning. And Lord, you know what you would have us to lift up to you in prayer. And we don't have anything to say. We just want to respond as you would prompt us to pray. And being prompted by one Spirit, Lord, we're all in agreement then on how we pray and what we pray for. So Lord, whether it's for the world leaders, whether it's for this nation, whether it's for the church around the world, the persecuted church, for our missionaries, or whether it's just for the local church, whatever it is for, Lord, for the lost and for those who are yours, that they would be fruitful. So, Lord, just lead us in these areas that you would have us pray, and we know the prayers will be effective, not because of our great faith. In fact, we're pretty faithless, but you are faithful. And you invite us to come boldly or without hesitation and speaking freely to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment, but to the throne of grace, that we might find mercy and help in time of need. So lead us now in this prayer, in Jesus' name.